Media.
Good afternoon. It's 3 p.m. Currently, it's overcast, 66 degrees here on the campus of UL Lafayette. Winds from the south at about 10 miles per hour. Should remain mostly cloudy overnight with a low of 56 degrees. A partly sunny day expected for Friday with a high of 75. Coming up at 4 o'clock, All Things Considered from NPR News. Judith Merriweather will also join us in approximately 3:30. We begin programming with a performance by the Metamorphosen Chamber Orchestra under the direction of conductor Scott Yu and featuring violinist Mark O'Connor. They perform a couple of O'Connor's compositions, Strings and Threads Suite and Appalachia Waltz.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been listening to a performance by the Metamorphosen Chamber Orchestra, Scott Yu conducting two compositions by violinist Mark O'Connor, and actually Mark O'Connor, featured violinist in the Strings and Threads suite, followed by Appalachia Waltz. You're listening to KRVS Lafayette Lake Charles. Thank you.
with me in the KRVS studios this afternoon from the Tea Sippers and the Hive are Andrew Lee Vinson and Logan Hinskins. Logan is the Associate Director of the Tea Sippers. Andrew, you're the Director of the Tea Sippers.
The Artistic Director.
One of the co-founders. That's right. Such an incredible group that we've been, our whole community has been rich by the work you've been doing since you were in high school and now are doing very professional shows.
Thank you.
In the community. They were always professional. So you all are working with The Hive right now, and I think we've all gotten used to saying The Hive at 810 Jefferson Street, and it is a collaborative group. You all are putting on a wonderful event this weekend, 6 writers, 12 actors, 24 hours. Before we talk more specifically about that event, let's regroup and describe for people what The Hive is and why you all from so many different groups came together to create The Hive.
Sure. Yeah. The Hive was formerly known as Theater 810, which, you know, it was a space that we all really loved in the community. We really needed. And it's a intimate black box theater that holds, I believe now, 60 chairs and 60 seats. We just really needed that intimate space. And there was a lot of shifting around of jobs, and you know, running a space is a very large task. And there was a lot of different people from lots of different groups in town who really wanted to extend a helping hand and support this space. And so I think it was 8, 9 of us, 10 of us.
I think 9, yeah.
Who sort of reached out and said, hey, let us help with this space with the people who were the artists who were running the space at the time when it was 810. And so slowly over the course of a year now, we've tried to install new floors, and we now have new seating, and
that's everyone's
we're
favorite.
Repainting and redecorating and redesigning and rewiring and trying to get everything nice and clean and freshen it up and breathe some new life back into it. And it's really great. You were saying earlier, Logan, that we all still like each other after an entire year.
That's important.
It's been a process, and it's really great. And the positive energy that comes with it, all of the work that goes into it, is really, really great. And and then we're also producing shows as this board
of
The Hive.
Yes, that's a new thing.
And I think that's an interesting distinction to make. You're talking about Theater 810 as a space, whereas this is called The Hive at 810 Jefferson Street.
Correct.
So you're really talking about a collaborative concept here that is at 810 Jefferson Street right now. But of course, it's not just that. It's not just a space.
Sure.
It is this idea of working together.
Well, I think what in the name, we really wanted to tell artists and, you know, people who want to teach classes and musicians, this is a space for you guys too. That was very important to us in deciding on the name.
Right. Yeah, so it's important that the space is versatile so that it can be used as an art gallery, a dance rehearsal space, a theater venue. And, you know, when you have shows in moving in and out of the space, it becomes a little difficult, but we're figuring out, you know, there's so much that we can do with the space, and we're really having a lot of fun discovering all those things.
And we're working hard to equip it to do all of those things. And we have the floor for dance. You know, in the new seats, we have desks that pop out of the seats to where, you know, we can accommodate classes. It's great.
Right. But it also demonstrates the versatility and collaborative nature of so many groups, theater groups in this area, because you all have come together from different theater groups.
Yeah.
You're on this board. You're working together. And yet, as I was hearing before we went on the air, you're working with those groups in other spaces. So you're spinning off and you're doing different collaborations. And yet there is this still incredibly valuable space that you all come together to use, this black box space, which allows you to do some interesting things and very intimate pieces. So maybe describe the various shows that have happened in The Hive over the past year.
So already since, I mean, the first show was only in November.
Yes, we've done, this will be our fourth.
Okay.
We've done Steel Magnolias in November. We did the Santa Land Diaries, which was a hilarious one-man show in December. And then we did Love, Loss, and What I Wore a couple months ago, like I think last month.
About a month ago.
And now we're going to do the 24-hour play festival.
So very different events.
We're trying everything.
We're diversifying.
We want it to be a little bit, we want everybody to be able to experience something that they like. Everyone have a chance.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a concept, this 6 writers, 12 actors, 24 hours. You all have experienced that, I think, seen that before. And over the years, I was just mentioning quite a number of years ago, I remember that happening in the art house. So it obviously is a concept that people revisit because it does work and it does entertain people and inspire them. So describe the idea behind this type of production. What goes on?
So just kind of technically how it works, we have 6 writers, 12 actors. Each writer chooses 2 actors and a prop at random. The writers can brainstorm with the actors or they can go off alone. Collectively, you have 24 hours to write and rehearse a 10-minute piece. Intriguing, difficult. The culmination of that is we're doing 2 performances, 7:30 and 9:30, this Saturday, March 18th, at The Hive.
And will they be all the same plays, or
yes.
Are you going to divide? Okay.
Well, so it'll be the same plays at both performances, right, yes.
Okay.
At the end of the performances, the audience votes for mm-hmm. their 2 favorite writers and their 2 favorite actors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then each writer picks an actor at random, and the writer has 10 minutes to write a monologue for the actor to present immediately. The audience votes again to determine the winning actor and the winning writer.
So I think people can feel just in the intensity of your voice, the intense nature
yes.
of what goes on. So how do you choose? Do people volunteer to be the writers? How does this process happen?
This is strictly volunteer-based.
Okay. Yeah, we reached out to Kara Bakke, who's on our board. And
she's our superwoman.
She was this was her idea. She wanted mm-hmm. to bring this and do this. She reached out to, I think, every single actor and writer in town.
We had some volunteers come.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had to pull a few. But
we really wanted to encourage people who are actively writing, who aren't actively writing, who might
right.
want to do that. And I think if it goes well, we'll plan to do it again.
I would love to do it again.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm writing, and I did this in high school one time, and it's very, very difficult, but it's very fun.
Okay.
Well, and that's something to stress. This is not just handing somebody a short play that they direct
right.
and choose 2 actors,
right.
but you're actually writing. So you're hoping to encourage that creative element of the theater community
mm-hmm.
That isn't always as promoted.
Right. I think mm-hmm. what's so interesting about it is that you have no idea which 2 actors you're going to get, so you can't plan before.
Right.
And you don't know which prop you're going to get. And the prop's supposed to be a bit pivotal in the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't plan anything, really. I mean, I guess you could plan
until you
draw that, and then you write this play. You know, you collaborate as much as you want with the actors, which, you know, I think we all plan to do that. That'd be great. And the play, you never, you know, it's going to be completely 100% original. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be
fun.
And
like our actors, like we have some, I know we have someone younger, you know, we have varying genders, ages, all of that stuff. I mean, and our writers as well, but it's almost like you have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Until you see your actors and your prop.
Now, can we talk about the writers? You
sure.
just mentioned, Andrew,
sure.
that you're one of the writers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have Elsa Demetriadis also writing, Casey Harmon, Danny Pavanelli, Eric Schneider, Patricia Sidman, and myself. And then we have 12 actors. You want me to name them all?
Yes, please.
Okay. Let's see if I don't butcher any of these. Excuse me. Andrew Antonelli, Catherine Arsenault, Amanda Caldwell, Cindy Abair, Elaine Kibido. Hendrick Matason, Morgan Munzing, Amanda Lyon, Jody Powell, Ivana Qualls, Vanessa Sanchez, and Aitiana Wright.
Well, this is so interesting to think about the different points of view between writers like yourself and the actors who have offered themselves up to this
yeah.
really interesting experience.
Sacrificial lamb type thing.
In some ways, but there's a challenge
yeah.
to them, and I'm sure that's outside of what they normally do, you know, knowing the roles that they're going to audition for or choose. This is something completely different.
I think the acting role is more stressful than the writing role, personally, because I think, you know, If you're actively writing, it's fun to write. You can probably – it's probably still a challenge but fun
yeah.
to do. But as the actor, you have to learn these lines, get
mm-hmm.
off book in
mm-hmm.
24 hours, less than 24 hours, learn the staging and do a dress rehearsal
right.
you know, right before you open and then
right.
and then perform twice in front of an audience.
I'm sure there are some people out there thinking, 24 hours, do they sleep at all? Or do you just
yeah.
stay up all night writing and then rehearsing?
I think the plan is we'll meet at the theater at 7:30.
7:30
Friday, on Friday.
24 hours.
We'll meet each other, say hi. We'll pull from a hat, figure out who has who and who has what. and then sort of converse. And I think about at 9 o'clock, we'll go our separate ways and the writers go and write. And at 8 o'clock the next morning, we return to the space, mm-hmm. give the scripts to the actors, start rehearsing what the actors have all day. And then I suppose 5:30 or so, we start having, you know, our
dress
quick
tech.
Dress okay. tech rehearsals. And then first show is at 7:30. So it's really, you know, all hands on deck. It's go, 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 go.
So the actors might get to sleep Friday night, but the writers might not.
Probably not.
Yeah. They're going to say they're going to sleep, but in reality, I don't think any of the writers are going to be sleeping.
Who chooses those topics and the props? Who actually chooses and writes on the slips of paper and then you pull?
Well, we don't – the writer is completely – it's completely – the topic is completely up to the writer.
Oh, right. I know. The topic is, but the prop.
The prop. And the – yeah. I think Kara was the one who decided. Kara, the one who pitched this idea, who's also on the board. Okay. I think she was
She comes up with the props.
Yeah. Okay. We were making jokes that my dog would be a prop. So you really never know what's going to
happen. Has there ever been a live prop in one of these?
So. I don't know.
You could do a parakeet or something.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. That would be.
That's why you really can't plan ahead.
Kara, if you're listening, think about a live prop.
You better be listening.
Snake, you know.
Yeah. Something scary.
Or that could be a separate, a new 6 writers, 12 actors live props.
Yeah. 2017.
Production.
Yeah.
You could try that.
That's okay.
That sounds scary.
Right. Well, this one is just 6 writers, 12 actors, 24 hours, probably with a stationary prop. And so then as the audience, we get to see this amazing little burst of creation on Saturday evening that has come out of the writer in 24 hours.
Yeah, so it's 6 10-minute plays back to back, which is so fun. So, you know, don't worry if one's not very good, it only lasts 10
will
minutes
come.
And it'll be okay soon. So, that's but right. I think it's going to be fun. I think seeing what people come up with, how the actors adopt this material very, very quickly, you know, because that's a process.
Yes.
And having no process is also a process. So, I think it'll be fun to see how people react and how, you know, did you write this so quickly.
Yeah, I think it's participation from all aspects because you have writers and then, you know, you have your actors and then the audience has to vote. So everyone gets to participate. I love that.
Right, right. Well, have you talked to some of the other writers? Are you all doing anything if you're running a marathon, you obviously practice every day, you know. Are you practicing writing something? You're
reading
a lot of plays, short plays?
I like to read more. I try to write. I always start writing, never finish. I have lots of thoughts, lots of ideas. But never. We've done a few shows that I've written, but
so but come Friday night, you can't just go say, "Oh, I'm not going to write. I'm going to go read." You have to write.
Yeah, so I'm going to write. But I think I don't know. I guess people do prepare in different ways. I like reading, so reading the creative juices flow. And
but I'm just thinking of the really interesting array of writers that you have. The people you were mentioning, all extremely talented, who have been involved in theater in various ways in this community. But with really different personalities, backgrounds.
These plays are going to be all off the wall different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well,
and the aspect that is most appealing to me is the two winners have to write the monologue for the two actors to give.
And what do they have, 10 minutes to write
that? Yeah, they have 10 minutes to write it. So
they don't even have it all night to write it.
Yeah, if they think Andrew's brilliant and they pick his, he has 10 minutes to go write something that hopefully sweeps them off their feet and they vote him.
Is that making
you? I'm brilliant.
Is that making you nervous?
I think I need to leave the studio.
I was thinking that just getting your topic Friday night and then having to write overnight was intense and pressure, but actually having to come up with a monologue.
So it's fun because it turns into a game.
Right.
Yeah, it turns
into even faster.
Even faster.
Right. And then the winner of the monologue then has to
That is it.
It could be an infinity.
I'm sure, you could make all sorts of rules.
Absolutely. Well, again, could you mention the list of writers? Because
absolutely. The 6 writers are Elsa Demetriadis, Casey Harmon, Danny Pavanelli, Eric Schneider, Patricia Sidman, and myself, Andrew Vincent.
Again, fascinating. I think our listeners recognize many of those names
and
various ways that
Patricia
they have been
Sidman
involved.
Is in residency right now at ACA with the show she's writing. So
yes,
I think
and
which you're stage managing.
Oh, yes, I am stage managing.
And she's very much into storytelling, and she's really adept at that. So it'll be quite interesting to see what people come up with and how creatively they use their props.
I think so, too. I'm excited. Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited to watch. Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, when I was asking you, well, what kind of exercises are you doing? And I was just imagining someone sitting in their house and, like, choosing different props right now. You know,
oh,
go, okay, well, I'm going
to – that's a great way to
study.
Right,
just look around your house and
– or, you know, we should have done this interview a few days ago, Judith, so I could have –
I'll help you. We'll do this. We'll do an exercise like this.
Preparing for this incredible event. And, of course, it will take place at The Hive.
At The Hive.
At 810 Jefferson Street. How are you all going to set this up? Because I think you can kind of change the shape, or how does – that's one of the nice things about a black box.
Yeah, it's
– how are you going to have it set up?
I think we'll probably have something depending on – I don't know, I guess the pieces, I guess something pretty standard. Mm-hmm. Probably just some – maybe some cubes and some – it'll just be black.
It'll
nice
probably be pretty minimalistic.
Yeah. I think mm-hmm. minimal. I think mm-hmm. a minimalistic look, probably basic wash. And but, you know, if we get into tech rehearsal and people want specific things,
we'll see
how far we can push ourselves.
That's right, especially if their prop needs a special prop.
I mean, we might have to build all these sets and everything.
We like being pushed.
You've opened up this Pandora's box
here. Yeah.
If you are just tuning in, my guests are Logan Henskins and Andrew Lee Vincent, both with the Tea Sippers Theater Group in our community, but also working with The Hive at 810 Jefferson Street. And they are here talking about a really special theatrical event performance called Six Writers, 12 Actors, 24 Hours. And the audience is involved in this and that they get to vote on one of these or a couple of these six 10-minute plays that will come out of this process. So a really great way to observe writers and actors who we may know in other forms of theater, but they're coming together to use their talents in this way and really show off just how creative they are. Anything else we should know about this particular event or your observations?
To get tickets,
you call
or text 337-484-0172 mm-hmm. or go to the website 24-hour, that's 24 numbers, mm-hmm. ourhive.eventbrite.com. Mm-hmm. It's $10 admission, and we have a Facebook event.
Okay, so Facebook, I found that pretty easily, and mm-hmm. You can find it as well. So lots of ways to find out more about the event as well as to get tickets for it. And as with all things at that space, probably shouldn't wait. Getting tickets is a good idea because of
probably.
The limited seating as well. So what's up next for The Hive after this? Do you have a season?
We are partnering with Festival International and other theaters downtown. Festival approached us and wanted to do theatrical pieces in the space. So we're going to have different pieces moving around to the different theaters downtown. So we have Tartuffe, which is a comedy. We have White Rabbit, Red Rabbit, which is a theatrical experience, and it meets sort of a social experiment. The actors get the script, I think, that day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sort of similar concept, but the writer is somewhere across the sea. Like, he's, you know, in, like, I don't remember where they said, like, Syria or something.
There's a script already,
like,
and you don't get the script until before, and then you have to perform it.
We've cautioned everyone who wants to do it, don't go online, because apparently it's been leaked, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Slam Dango 2, which is a puppet slam. And so, among others, but those are the three.
The continuing diversity in what you all are offering.
Those will be moving around different theater spaces.
That's the actual week of festival.
Yes, that is going on
it's
during
be so
festival.
Great. Yeah.
Okay, another great reason to look forward to festival.
I know.
Again, Lauren Henskins, Andrew Lee Vincent, talking about a pretty creative production that will take place this Saturday, two performances only at The Hive on 810 Jefferson Street, six writers, 12 actors, 24 packed hours. And then again, don't forget that the two winning writers have to write
monologues
in 10 minutes.
Yep.
Pressure on you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And all of you other writers out there listening. Well, thank you both for your enthusiasm and exuberance about theater and working together with so many other theater groups and a variety of actors and writers for this particular production. It enriches our theater world here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for having us on, Judith.
Thank you. And now look at what's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. The creative writing graduate students at UL Lafayette will continue their reading series at Poets on Johnston Street. Tonight is their banned book reading. There will be around 12 people reading from banned books over the years. You may be surprised at some of them that have been banned. Rebecca Hazelwood, after that, will be reading creative nonfiction. She runs the poetry blog Structure and Style, and she's been published widely in online journals and other journals as well. And in addition to her nonfiction, she's publishing it. She's won a number of awards. So tonight, banned book readings, as well as Rebecca Hazelwood, 7 to 9 at Poets on Johnston Street. The Friends of the Lafayette Public Library Spring Book Sale continues today until 8 p.m. at the Hyman Center Ballroom. It will also continue Friday and Saturday. And UL Lafayette's Performing Arts Department presents For What It's Worth, a devised piece focusing on the college experience. It's conceived in the minds of 11 actors who were cast in this show. It is also a capstone project for the graduating seniors. It will open tonight for the general public and run through the weekend with evening performances through Saturday and then a matinee on Saturday and Sunday at 2 o'clock in Burke Theater on the UL campus. For more information about For What It's Worth, they do have a Facebook page. You can get to it by typing in For What It's Worth, or you can go to it through the UL Performing Arts Facebook page as well. This evening, the annual Flora Plonsky Levy Lecture will take place in Oliver Hall, room 112, at 7 o'clock. You may know this is the annual Levy Lecture, and they now call it by her full name, the Flora Plonsky Levy Lecture. Speaking this evening will be George Linsing, who is Professor Emeritus from the University of North Carolina. The topic of his lecture is Transcendence in the Poetry of Wallace Stevens. All are invited to this event. In Lake Charles, there's a French film festival through the month of March at McNeese. The film being shown tonight is Loin des Hommes, Far From Men. That will be at 6 o'clock in Baker Auditorium, Farrar Hall on the McNeese campus. The annual Hardy Party to benefit Camp Boncoeur takes place at Vermilionville this evening. For further information, you can go to heartcamp.com or call Vermilionville. The Bach Lunch Series continues tomorrow with a performance by Sweet Cecilia in Parc Sanssouci from noon until 1 o'clock. And opening in New Iberia at the S&E Theater, the IPAL production of Cole Porter's Anything Goes opens on Friday and runs through April 2nd. For further information, you can stop by their website. This month is Festival of the Arts, put on by the College of the Arts at UL Lafayette. There are lots of events taking place throughout the different departments in the College of the Arts. Herman Meir is receiving the Spark Lifetime Achievement Award. He will be honored tomorrow night at Art Tech Fusion at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. Art Tech Fusion, as Dean Gordon Brooks said the other day, has a kind of a TED Talk feel. Lots of collaborating professors and students in the College of the Arts talking about their work and their collaborative experiences. There will be a video testimonial about Herman's career, and he will be honored tomorrow night as well. For further information, you can call the College of the Arts. They also say that you can just show up at the ACA tomorrow evening. It starts at 6:30, and you can get your tickets there. The Lafayette Ballet Theater presents Peter Pan this weekend, Friday and Saturday evening. For more information, you can go to LafayetteBalletTheater.org or you can call the Hyman Center box office. Performances are at 7 on Friday and 7 on Saturday. And in Lake Charles, there is a special instrument donation program that runs between March 17th and 31st. It's a year-round donation program, but there are some drop-off points that are receiving major donations between March 17th and March 31st. For more information, you can go to their website, musicmakers2u.org, or you can give them a call at 794-7180. Or go to their Facebook page, Music Makers to You, and find out more about being able to drop off instruments, band, orchestra instruments. Again, that's in the Lake area. And the Acadian Museum is honoring one of our hosts. They have a Living Legends program, and they honor someone periodically. And being honored is John Broussard, JB, one of the hosts of the Zydeco Show. He will be honored this Saturday at 4 o'clock at the Acadian Museum in Erath. Congratulations, John, for this honor, and thanks to the Acadian Museum for honoring him. And this Saturday, the Acadiana Roller Derby girls will open their 2017 season that will be held on the Youngsville Highway from 7 to 9 p.m. You can go to Acadiana Roller Girls. That's their website to find out more about it. And that's at 1616 Youngsville Highway. Again, the season opening for the Acadiana Roller Derby girls. The Hive at 810 Jefferson Street will open 6 riders, 12 actors, 24 hours this Saturday. It actually opens and closes on Saturday, 7:30 performance and 9:30 performance as well. For further information, they do have a Facebook page. Just search for 24-Hour Hive or go to the Hive Facebook page as well. The 7th Annual Roots Camp will take place at the South Louisiana Community College in Lafayette this weekend. For more information, you can call them, or they do have an Eventbrite site. There will be a Contra and Square dance this Sunday, March 19th at Vermilionville for their Bal de Dimanche, 1 to 4 p.m. The callers are Charlene Heaton and Dan Wally Baker. The band will include Anya and Richard Burgess, Sharon Leahy, and Rick Good. They do have a Facebook page, Louisiana Contras and Squares, for further information. The UL Lafayette Women's Conference will take place March 22nd, next week on Wednesday, in the Student Union here on campus. The speaker will be Alyssa Carson, who is quite a motivational speaker. She's a teen astronaut in training, a philanthropist, an international speaker, and she will be giving the keynote speech. Talk on Wednesday for the Women's Conference. It's their 10th annual Women's Conference. You can register by going to the website diversity.louisiana.edu or call the Office for Campus Diversity here on the UL campus. And for a listing of programs on KRVS, please stop by our website, krvs.org, clicking on the schedule button. You can listen to audio on demand of all of our locally produced programs. If you missed Medicine Ball Caravan today, you can search for it on our website and listen to the one dated for today. If you missed an interview, one of Pearson Cross's interviews, you can search for his show, Bayou to Beltway, and listen to that show or share the link as well. Please stay with us this afternoon and evening. We are with NPR's All Things Considered from 4 until 6. 6 to 7, Terry Gross hosts Fresh Air. At 7 o'clock on Thursdays, it's La Vianera from the Shamrock Shore at 8, Franco Mix at 9, Earthbeat at 10, and at 11, two great shows, Lost in Love and Je Savais Pas. In a moment, we join NPR's All Things Considered.
Hi, friends. This is Pearson Cross, a host of Bayou de Beltway on KRVS, reminding you that if you missed my talk this week with Bruce Conk and Kevin Nuckin, who are city council members, Lafayette Parish City Council, please tune in at 5:30 this Saturday to hear everything that you missed. We talked about the financial crisis in the parish. We compared Lafayette Parish to other parishes in Louisiana, and we talked about the impact of diminishing parish and city government funds for the quality of life here in Lafayette Parish. So tune in this Saturday at 5:30 to hear Bruce Kalk and Kevin Nakhan talking about crucial financial issues.
That's Bayou to Beltway Wednesdays and Saturdays, or download the podcast anytime at krvs.org. This is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake